Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to your calls. If you're a psychologist or other therapist or anyone in therapy, about how the presidential election is coming up in your sessions and whether it's different from other election years. Mike in Piscataway, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
What kind of practice do you have?
I'm a therapist. I'm a psychologist. You know, people come in and talk about depression, anxiety, their relationships, and so on.
And?
What I'm noticing in this election cycle, a lot of people talking about the election in general, Trump specifically. What I've noticed different between now and past elections, I used to hear more of the anxiety on the right of people who were really upset that Barack Obama was our president, and that was coming to the therapy room. I wouldn't really hear it so much from the other side, that whether or not people were upset with Bush, they weren't bringing it into the therapy room. But now the prospect of Trump as president, or more so just even being bombarded by Trump and I get a lot of, you know, I hate them both, but more mm-hmm. the anxiety, it seems, that the name Donald Trump is working his way into the room more than I've ever seen.
I mentioned that the American Psychological Association found that this anxiety runs about evenly among Republicans and Democrats. But some of our listeners were probably surprised just now when you said you got a lot of this about Obama being president. What was the source of that anxiety? What did they think he was going to do that made people personally anxious?
You know, I think it was just more the prospect of dealing with a black man in power, you know, and all that went with that. Was disturbing to many people many people. There was a percentage there. It wasn't one or two. You know, it was something that was bothering people.
Really? And would they say that explicitly, or would they use other kinds of language and you would have to take them there?
For the most part, they would use other kinds of language. A couple, a handful were specific about it. More often than not, it was just bothersome, coded, you know, thinly veiled, coded language, even in the therapy room.
So how would you be their therapist without calling them a racist?
Oh, goodness. You know, I practice short-term cognitive behavioral therapy, right? So I'm in the position of taking a look at what their presenting problem is and helping them focus on that. What I would do to the sense that focusing on this stuff is causing them distress, I would note it to them. But you know, some of these people who are bringing on this stuff had, you know, deeper psychological issues that went beyond sort of the presenting problem
right.
that I was dealing with, and I would try to, in some cases, refer them to a practice where they can do some more in-depth therapy around these kind of things.
Interesting. Thank you very much for your call. Wow, that was revealing. Lisa in Englewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. This election is really uncharacteristic for me because I find that I am having difficulty staying neutral because of my own strong feelings about the election. And so when a client has said they were for this one or that one, I had, you know, I was had no challenge to remain neutral. But this time, when I have some women clients coming in, and particularly, well, I have mostly women clients, but say that they are for Trump because Hillary's a liar, it takes everything I have to not, you know, to remain neutral.
That's very candid of you to say this. What do they call that, counter-transference?
yes, that's what they call it. Exactly.
And so what do you – you're just having to kind of will yourself to stay neutral and deal with – well, how do you sue – how do
well,
you try to relieve –
the first time it happened for the an intelligent person, a therapist actually, who said this – I didn't say anything, and I just thought, wow, we're in trouble, you know. Then just yesterday, a person I've been seeing for many, many years, I actually said something when, you know, she said it's all lies, and I said, well, why don't you check out this article? I would never have done that. I mean, that's not what I do.
Do you think you're that patient?
It's a byproduct of having known her for many, many years,
uh-huh.
but also a byproduct of my strong difficulty in restraining myself from listening
yeah.
to that.
So do you think you risk losing trust of that patient by
saying to them,
yeah,
not with her, because
you're wrong on the facts,
such a history,
you have
you
a relationship?
But I wouldn't do that with a new person.
Uh-huh.
I have enough restraint, you know, for that. But I've never had to restrain myself. That's sort of my point, is that it's
yes.
never been a challenge
an issue
for me.
Before. Lisa, thank you very much. Very honest, the therapist who's having problems restraining herself from expressing her political opinions with people with other political opinions. Jennifer in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Jennifer, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, so you're a psychologist, I see?
Yeah, I'm a psychologist in Manhattan, and I'm finding, you know, it's coming up. There's three different ways that I find that it's coming up. There's the sort of general anxiety, particularly people are worried about whether or not there's going to be violence that happens after the actual election, because it's such a contentious and scary rhetoric that's going on. The other way that it's coming up is among my female patients who have histories of trauma and sexual assault, to be seeing this discussion and the disrespect, and also people seeing friends on social media saying things like, well, what does it matter that he said this, you know, when they have a history of trauma and it's sort of like right in their face. So it's bringing up a lot of that. And then the third way is with my patients of color and also my patients who are Muslim, where people are making comments about either their support of Trump or just seeing the intensity of the racism that is being expressed in social media as well as in the news. So those are the three ways that people are talking about how they're distressed related to this
Jennifer,
election.
Thank you so much. Deirdre in Mount Kisco, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deirdre.
Hi, Brian. How are you today?
Okay, thank you.
So I'm a psychotherapist, clinical social worker for 27 years. I have a private practice in Mount Kisco, and one of my specialties is working with trauma of all kinds. And, of course, that includes child sexual abuse and domestic violence and other things like that. And so I've seen patients experience different political clients who are, I mean, periods, different administrations. What I'm seeing here now, first of all, people do come in and talk about it. I must have two or three or four sessions a day out of seven that it's brought up. And I've seen
How unusual is that?
I don't find it's very unusual as far as the last 25 years of prior 25 years. So I say in the last year, but it's really amping up in the last 2 or 3 months. And then certainly since this revelation about Trump's comments about sexual assault and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So, and then there's a recurrence of some symptoms in people who are really otherwise getting better. And as a social worker, I'm trained to work with person and environment. And so what's happening in the environment, it's not just an intrapsychic issue. There's a socially acceptable colluding kind of culture that is happening right now, saying this is just locker room talk. Or I've had seen people on social media say, yeah, he's really a brash big mouth, but he'll fix this country. Like, I don't really care about that. So because his behavior and his attitudes and his statements and the responses, the colluding responses, are so exactly correspond to what happened to children growing up, where they were abused at night and in the daytime considered everything was normalized or ignored or denied. And so that schism that's happening intrapsychically is happening societally and politically. And so I don't feel particularly, I even have one person who's a Trump supporter. I don't feel like I have to restrain myself, nor do I necessarily bring it up. But if it's brought up, I will normalize being aware of my own filter. I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter. Mm-hmm. I will not hesitate to speak to them about it, because that deception that's going on in the society is real, in my view. And they don't need that on top of whatever intrapsychic and past experiences right. that they're also trying to metabolize.
So let me
important.
So I'll give you the last word in this segment, and let me get you to respond to another psychologist who posted on Twitter, wrote, "I'm a psychologist. Anxiety, yes, but also engagement in the system of our elections. Engagement yields empowerment." So that person is saying, besides the normal personal intrapsychic stuff, they're counseling their patients, if they've got anxiety born of politics, to get politically engaged. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea. I think it depends on the person that you're seeing. And I think by having an open environment and validating the experience and being able to talk to someone about their present moment experience instead of only just their past experience, it leaves open the possibility of, and I encourage the possibility of doing some kind of action-oriented thing, whether it's what the Twitter psychologist, the tweet he made, or something else. I agree with him.
Deirdre, thank you very much.
And thanks for doing this.
And thanks to all of you who called as psychologists or others in therapy practice. Wow, so interesting, right? So much relevance in people's lives. And to hear them say 4 sessions out of 7 in a given day, now referencing the elections and other ratios like that that the other callers mentioned. Thank you very much for opening up about that.